Hello?
Hello, I was trying to reach Mr. AJ Croce.
Hi, how are you?
Excited about Saturday night in Galesburg, Illinois. Have you ever been to Galesburg, Illinois?
No, I haven't. This is my first time.
Yeah, well, you're going to love the venue for sure. The Orpheum Theater it's a beautiful place. It is
I'm
wonderful.
looking forward to it.
Yeah. Where you at? Where you at, AJ, right now?
Well, I've got 2 days at home in Nashville.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So just enjoying that and then out on the road. How long is the tour?
Until the end of my life.
Until the end of my life. Yeah, well, from what I read, AJ, about 25 plus years you've been an artist, and I was just thinking about this a second ago. And artists these days don't, I mean, very few sell records, and you're getting very, not a lot of dollars from digital on the road, and merchandise is kind of where it's at these days, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
you got to go out there and play.
Right, and that's why you're in it anyway. I'm gonna this is AJ Croce is on the phone with us, and AJ's been playing music since he was really, really young, and we'll get more into that in a bit. He's also the son of Jim Croce, a folk singer, rock and roll singer. He sang a lot of songs back in the day, and we'll talk about his dad in a bit. But I want to play a track from AJ's new album, which I bet you're gonna hear a lot of at the Orpheum Theater coming up on Saturday night. This kicks off. This is a name of the game. Give a listen to this from his latest album. AJ, I got to do the commercial for your concert, and so I was sampling some of the music. I love this record. Would you call this a soul record?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
Yeah, I mean,
I love that track. I love Full Up, and I couldn't get past that one for a while. So, but yeah, tell us about your approach to this, and tell us about this record that it sounds like you put your heart into.
man, I think I went through a sort of a dark period, which is always good for writing songs. So I was moving from California back to Nashville. I've lived here, before, and so, I had been writing stuff, as I always do. But then I met Dan Penn, and I saw him at a concert and asked if he would be interested in writing a song. We wrote The Other Side of Love, and that sort of kicked it off. And I said, let's record it like we mean it, like it's a real, like a, I didn't know if it'd be a 45 or if it'd end up on a record. And so we did that, and Cure is Just Like Medicine. So we did two songs in a day, recorded it live, mono, 16 track. That was, we didn't go over, we didn't submix. The whole point of doing it mono was that I had been listening to just, one day I was listening to a Kinks record that was in mono and on my phone, and I realized how good it sounded, how much better it sounded.
You noticed that on your listening on your phone.
Right, and
Yeah.
so most people listen to their music on their phone. They listen on their laptop. They listen on their pad. So I figured that we're listening basically on transistor radios. On
did you did you now did you did you have headphones on, AJ, when you were listening to it?
No, I was
No.
listening just through the speaker.
What was it about
You know.
the mono mix as opposed to the stereo mix?
I think that because is it's all in one place. It's all compressed.
Yeah.
You're not losing any, fidelity. Whereas with great stereo mixes, you lose fidelity. And also the more tracks you have, the thinner it gets.
Not all artists care about that. I mean,
I'm a record collector, so to me it makes a big difference.
Yeah. So would you call yourself an audiophile?
I would say so.
Right. If you'd have to brand yourself a file, an audiophile would be the one.
Yeah.
AJ Croce is on the phone with us. He plays the Orpheum. He's calling it Two Generations of American Music. We get your music, and we get some of Dad's music too. Is he always there with you wherever you're recording? Because let's go back. He passed in 1973. AJ, and you're my age, so you were very young, one and a half, 2 years old.
You know, it was, of course, the music was in my house.
Yeah.
But I that wasn't my influence.
I didn't think so.
I listened to, Ray Charles. I listened to old blues. I listened to R&B. I was listening to, I grew up in the, 70s and 80s. So, I was listening to, ELO and the Stones, and I was, of course, Bowie and Nielsen and stuff like that. But then, and Stevie Wonder and all of the funk stuff that was coming out. And then I listened to, loved the Clash and saw them play and loved, I loved all kinds of music.
Late 60s through the 70s. It was the greatest time.
I was really into, I was into the Faces and the Small Faces. I was into that whole 60s thing, mm-hmm. not just the late 60s, not just the psychedelia, but the whole era, whether it was R&B, whether it was Stax, whether it was Motown, whether it was, a British thing, there was great stuff. And there was a revival of country blues like Skip James and these guys that hadn't played in a long time, like Mississippi John Hurt and stuff like that. So my tastes go all over the board.
You were absorbing it all.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I had poor sight, lost my sight completely, when I was four. And so I just play along with the transistor radio I had, and I had a piano. And so, where there was a piano in the house. So I would go and, play along with whatever was there, Bowie, or it could be Talking Heads, or it could be, anything that was in top 40 at that time I would play along to.
So AJ, mom didn't have to tell you to get to the piano. You went, you were loving it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. She didn't listen to a lot of records.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't see very well, it was like choose your own adventure kind of record playing. So I'd reach in, I'd grab a record, I'd put it on and find out where it was.
Wow.
It was my dad's collection. And so it could be Fats Waller, or it could be, it could be Sam Cooke, or it could be Solomon Burke, or it could be, some Lieber and Stoller thing, or a, early rock and roll thing, or, any number of, folk items, Woody Guthrie or something. Yeah, I mean, it goes on and on.
Do you have a lot of your dad's collection still in your possession?
I don't, because, my house burnt down when I was 15, so that stuff got lost.
Yeah. Do some of these, would you say, even today, being a 46-year-old man, a lot of these painful events that affected your life, play into the music, like you said, that makes music better when you can relay it to music and put it out to other people. It's got to be therapy for you. Do you still feel that today?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, every night that I play it, it's therapy, especially, playing with great musicians. I've got a great band that's playing with me at the Orpheum, and, David Berard is coming in from New Orleans, bass player, phenomenal. was with Dr. John for 30 years, and before that he was, he was with Toussaint. And
I'm not off base. I'll let you get back to the musicians. I'm not off base when I hear a little Dr. John influence on this record.
I wasn't influenced by Dr. John.
No?
I didn't know Dr. John. I knew Long Hair. I knew James Booker. I knew Alan Toussaint. I knew Fats Domino.
Yeah.
I knew Huey Piano Smith. I knew that stuff.
Yeah.
Little Richard.
Yeah, and maybe it's in your tone, in your voice. I'm just like, wow, your dad and you are there, and I felt a little bit of but when you're talking about Dr. John, you're talking about soul, and that's what you got on this record. So,
right. I mean, not to say I don't love his music.
Sure,
don't get
sure.
me wrong.
Yeah,
it was,
yeah.
It was just I found it later. I was someone said, oh, you remind me of Dr. John. I was like, who? And I couldn't believe that I didn't know it.
Cause, yeah.
How couldn't I know it?
Yeah.
And I had played a bunch with the Nevilles and toured with them, and it never came up,
Yeah. Steve Cropper and Vince Gill are on the album. They're not going to make it to the Orpheum, probably. But go ahead. You were talking about some of the musicians, your friends, that you got backing you up Saturday night.
Yeah, yeah. Michael Bazar is playing second guitar and lead guitar. And he's out of Chicago originally. I found him through Buddy Guy. I was playing at Legends about 20 years ago, and the guitar player in my band was about to, leave and do something else, and I asked him if he knew a good player. He's like, I think I know some guy who just moved out to Berkeley, and it was Michael, and Michael and I have been playing together ever since. And then the drummer I met through Cowboy Jack Clement, who ironically was the first person I recorded for, here in Nashville when I was 17.
Mm.
And
1989 or so?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so that was around the same time that I met Cropper, and Steve and I've, stayed in touch, and he's always been really supportive.
AJ,
so I called him up and he came in.
That's great.
When I met old Benny, blind to be the kind of town and run you'll see, and I heard a lot of people.